we notice that Satan's power and activity are directed primarily against God. And of course, there are byproducts of this rebellious aim. For example, back in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, we see Satan's attack on Adam as it really is. And it was really an attack on the character and control of God. It was not primarily an attack on Adam. It was an attack on the character and control of God. And of course, opposition to God is clearly mentioned in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. And you will see tonight how the epistles of John tie in with the great opposition to satanic power. Satan induced Cain to murder Abel. Now, Abel in the Bible is classified as a man of God. And 1 John 3, 7 through 15 clearly reveals that God is love and God promotes love. Whereas Satan is hateful, spiteful, and he promotes hatred and he promotes spitefulness. God also is life and creates life, whereas Satan operates in the realm of death, as Hebrews 2:14 will reveal. Now, when we look at Satan, who is the opposer of God's person, we also realize that Satan is the opposer of God's program. And counterfeiting is one of Satan's best methods. And he is constantly counterfeiting God's system of truth, because Satan promotes the system that we may call the lie. Will you read carefully sometime Ephesians 2:2 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 8 through 11 very carefully and meditate upon those scriptures. Now it is true that Satan's counterfeit system may be irreligious, as Psalm 14 verse 1 through 3 reveals. Satan, of course, may deny the existence of God, and he does on many occasions. To explain the world, Satan substitutes evolution for creation, uniformitarianism for providence, human progress for divine salvation, and man's utopia for God's kingdom on earth. Of course, there are other areas that he promotes. Atheism, agnosticism, pragmatism, existentialism, and these are all substitutes for truth. And Satan also promotes counterfeit religion. He encourages non-biblical religion or distortions of true Christianity. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 through 15 reveal a great truth about Satan's messengers who transform themselves into messengers of light. Now the Bible is very clear and says that Satan sometimes seeks and gets control of a work of God, as 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11 will reveal to you, and also will Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and Revelation 2, 9. Now, Satan also promotes false doctrine, and this he propagates through demons who teach works as righteousness. The first letter of Timothy, chapter 4, and verses 1 and 3, and 2 Peter 2, and verses 1 and 15 reveal this truth. Now, when we look at what we're saying here tonight from the Word of God, we have to admit that some churches follow the teaching of Satan in idolatry and even then go on into the intrusion into the occult world. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 and 24 are very clear on that truth. Now, in Satan's counterfeit religion, we also find false Christs or antichrists. 1 John chapter 2 verses 18 and 22 and 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3 reveal this to you. Remember what Jesus said. He said, there will be many who will come in my name. There will be many false Christs. And he also says in Matthew's gospel, at the end of time, when many will run to him and say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Lord, look what we did. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because they have been trapped into the counterfeit doctrine of the devil, and works has become righteousness. And he does it every Sunday in so many churches. And then there are the antichrists, many of them. And of course they are the forerunners of the main antichrist, who, as Satan's head man, one day will promote himself as God, and through his lying, miraculous deception will deceive many, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11 will reveal. I have a book on my shelf called Satan in the Sanctuary, and it talks about when the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And it talks from the Bible how Satan will go to that temple and will occupy that temple and will deceive many. But he's Antichrist. His forerunners are at work now. They're at work in the Club of Rome, which is situated ironically in Rome, has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. And the Antichrists are now gathering momentum. We see in this day and age in which we are living the outworking of Satan through rebellion. Why? Because Satan longs to attack the personality of God. He will not bow to the constituted authority of God. And as you look at your television screens, if you look at them, I don't bother to watch the thing unless I have to. You will see violence all over the world. Violence and rebellion. And where is the expression of rebellion portrayal? It is in young people primarily. And that is the work of Satan. Of course, Satan cannot step right outside the sovereign plan of God. He works within the framework of God's sovereign rule. We're all aware of that. Satan is a rebel in thought and deed. And one great aspect of truth here is this, that Satan's rebellious opposition will be found in his empowering of the future Antichrist, who himself is a proud rebel and who would pass himself off as God, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 reveal. This lawless one will deceive and dominate man as never before. This lawless one will assume a religious pose and use, listen to this, and use a religious system called Babylon to oppose true Christianity. And most of the rebellion in the world today is primarily through a religious system. Of course, Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that his doom is sure. And yet he increases his rebellious activity, persecuting primarily God's people, namely Israel and the church. Now we have thought about how he attacks the personality of God, the program of God. Let us now think in point two about his relationship to the nations. Now, he's been at this game for a long, long time. Right now, Satan is deceiving the nations. He's leading them astray from the truth that is in God and in Christ. He's doing it by influencing governments of nations. I don't have to tell you all the minor details. If you are sensitive to what is going on in the world today, you are sensitive that demonic power is influencing governmental leadership. And the Bible teaches very clearly that Satan is the god of this world, which includes men and angels outside the family of believers, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 reveals. And this is why you need to study the Bible and know these great doctrines. Remember, it was Satan who offered the nations to Christ in the wilderness during the time of temptation. And the Bible teaches very clearly that our Lord Jesus Christ did not dispute the legitimacy of the offer. But our Lord did refuse to rebel against God in submitting to Satan's method of obtaining them. And Matthew 4, 8 through 10 will reveal that. When I go back into the book of Daniel, a very difficult book to understand, and so much confusion, theological thinkers have divided opinions. But I don't have divided opinions. I read what is in the Bible. And Daniel 10, 13 and 20, and Ephesians 6, 12, and 1 Thessalonians 2, 18, make it very clear that Satan uses his angels to influence the affairs of nature, particularly in their opposition to God's program with Israel and with the church. Now, if you really want to have a look at what Satan is doing today,
watched the nation Israel as well as the church. Because today, as never before, Satan is using governmental authorities to hinder the spread of the gospel. There are many parts of the world that you cannot go to with the gospel. And there are areas in the countries around the world, and even in this country now, where doors are closing to the gospel. Many of the schools today have closed their doors to religious instruction. And I found that in the last 5 years as I was traveling around this nation as an evangelist. Doors were closing. But Satan is not only influencing the government, he's directing the governments of nations. And it's very clear from the Bible that during the tribulation period, Satan will actually direct the affairs of a 10-nation coalition through his man, the main Antichrist, as Revelation 17:12 reveals. That scripture reveals also that 10 rulers will give the Antichrist their power. And already that is beginning to happen. Or this may constitute a revived Roman Empire, since it is related in Daniel's vision to the fourth world empire of the Gentiles. Beloved, read the Bible. Don't listen to the theories. Daniel chapter 2 verses 31 and 45 and Daniel 7, 1 through 12 will teach you that. If you read the book of Daniel, you will discover what God is saying about the fourth world empire of the Gentiles. Now behind this world ruler, the main Antichrist, none other than Satan is the instigator. And that comes to you from Revelation 13 verses 2 and 4. The Bible teaches clearly just before the second coming of our Lord. And when our Lord comes, he will destroy the world powers and the Antichrist, as revealed in Daniel 2:35, verse 44 and verse 45 of that chapter. And also Daniel chapter 7, verses 8 and 14. And also in Revelation 19:11 through 21. Satan today is assembling those nations together. He's been doing it for a long time. A long, long time. Because he has, through government leadership, been deceitful and has told a lie. And it is good to pick up your local papers sometime and read them. I picked up one last night and it interested me. It was yesterday's Courier Mail. I was interested in this page here, which talks about the liars and how to spot them. The writer goes on to talk about the spirit of deception. Oh, there are many men in government that have been betrayed by the spirit of deception. And that is how Satan works through the nations. But he works in other ways through deception. What about these young people up at Warwick? It used to be years ago when I was involved in rodeo work, it was called the Rose and Rodeo City. But right now, as the journalist says, Warwick is saddled with a reputation it doesn't want. And the revelation in the paper was just simply this, that a group of young people were deceived. They got involved in a satanic orgy. And you know the end result, the massacre of animals. And when that religious orgy enters governmental leaders, human lives are also butchered. I don't need to tell you what's happened in the past 48 hours. You hear about it, you read about it. But it's happening. It's happening all around. And I want to say this to you. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. Our glorious so-called life of luxury is being very, very speedily removed from us. You may go to bed one night and wake up the next day and it'll be all over. And you will say, how did it happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It happened because the Bible teaches that it's going to happen. And you're not aware of it. I haven't told many of you, I don't talk about these things in general, but some of the men, the diagonals, we've talked about it. Do you know when I came to this church, I had to remove 11 evil spirits out of this building? And I had to do that through prayer and fasting. And they're all gone now. And the next time one comes through that door or that door, I'll boot it right out that door. Do you know much about satanic power? If you don't and you want to learn, I'll take you one night where you'll see it in the raw. It'll frighten hell out of you. Then I look at Satan again and I see how he works in relation to the unsaved. He does all that he can to prevent them from accepting the truth of the Word of God. He tells the unsaved not to listen to the preacher. He'll do everything in his power to hinder them from going to a gospel message. Why, he's got Christians in neutrality now. There was a time, you know, when Christians would bring unsaved people to a gospel message. But no longer. No longer. Why? Because Satan is alive and well. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that Satan snatches away the gospel message. In Luke 8:12, in the story of the sower there, there's a vivid illustration. But in simple language, some who hear the gospel are prevented from understanding it, lest they believe and be saved. Oh, he works overtime at that. You know, he's done a lot of that in our Baptist churches over the years. He said, right, you teach the gospel. I'll let them walk forward. I'll let them come out and make a decision. But that's as far as it'll go. Don't you dare disciple them. Don't you dare put someone with them for 12 months and lead them right through the scriptures. And you know, he's been good at that. And that means we've had a lot of wishy-washy Christians in our Baptist churches who know John 3:16 and they don't even know anything else. You know, it must have been a bit of a slap in the teeth when we started disciple classes here. You'll never know the hell he gave me. He doesn't like people being discipled because it's through the discipling that they grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he plays another game. He blinds the mind of people to the gospel. He does this with young people. He's been doing it in our universities throughout Australia and throughout the world. He likes to blind their mind. These minds that are very bright, and he causes a barrier to be placed against the gospel. He doesn't like the gospel to penetrate concerning sin. He tells young people as well as older people, it's all right, you don't have to listen to that. You know, sin, well, after all, what is sin? And the other thing he tries to do is not only blind the mind, but he tries to block the work of the Holy Spirit. He does that by placing a substitute or a counterfeit alongside of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's work is to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. But Satan does everything in his power to block the ministry of God the Holy Spirit by using counterfeit. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18 how he does it. Satan is the one who makes the gospel sound foolish and irrelevant to the preaching and to the perishing. And he does it magnificently. Then the other thing he does, he promotes attraction to those things which we can call falsehood, if you like. And this is a masterpiece of his work. And it's in the area of indoctrination, of false religion. 1 Timothy 4:1-3 reveals that. And then the other thing here is that Satan and his demons use men, whether they knowingly or unknowingly preach his lies. He promotes a salvation by human works, which is very attractive to sinners who would bypass our Lord's free offer of eternal salvation. And in doing so, Satan then goes on to persuade men and women that there is no need for that kind of salvation. And the outcome, of course, is obvious, because what Satan offers becomes purely human, as in systems of ethical idealism, or the spirit world as in spiritism, or in oriental mysticism. And there is a lot of oriental mysticism around today. And that is why we see a great increase in the occult practices, including witchcraft and Satanism. Now, is it any wonder that 1 John 4:1-4 tell us and warn us to test the spirits? If I said to you tonight, do you know how to test the spirits in the spirit world? Would you be able to answer me? You've been a Christian a long time. Would you know how to detect those who are being tormented by spirits? You would be horrified if I told you who the 11 are who were tormented by the spirits when I came here. You were not aware of it,
and you will remain anonymous. Now, another masterpiece of Satan is this. He loves to ingrain a false lifestyle, primarily with young people as well as older people. He'll tell you that you can do this, you can dress like that. After all, it's old-fashioned, isn't it? Is it old-fashioned? Or is it the counterfeit and the camouflage that he uses? You see, before we became blood-bought, born-again Christians, many of us walked in the course of this world. It may change in its expression from one generation to another generation, but it is still Satan-centered and Satan-promoted. And this philosophy of Satan is based on pleasure, possessions, and position, as 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 will reveal. Now, all of this, of course, happens in opposition to our Father God, and Satan is constantly energizing the sons of disobedience to follow the worldly spirit. In simple language, it is basically the egocentric ambition of Satan that characterizes this world. And satisfied with these things of man and materialism, unbelievers are kept from having a relationship with the living God. I know. I've lived through it. I watched Satan torment my boy for nearly 15 years, going on 16 years. Now, point five, let's have a look at his work in relation to Christians. And this is another masterpiece of Satan. And it is to defeat Christian believers in their individual and corporate life and service. He's got a lot of Christians beat here tonight from Upper Mount Gravatt Baptist Church. They're all home. Let's make the allowance for those who are sick or perhaps on the evening side of life. But where are the others? He's got them at home watching television. Maybe I need to do what I did in one of my churches before when I had a visiting preacher and I said to this man, "You're right, 7:10 I left him." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Going on to pastoral visitation." And I got to this place where this family could never be at the evening service. Made all the excuses, and at 7:29, I knocked on the door. They were just about all settling down to watch the Sunday night movie, and the woman opened the door, and she nearly had a heart attack. She said, "Pastor, what are you doing here?" I said, "Seeing you won't come to me, I've come to you." They were in church twice on Sunday till I left that church. You see, Satan has got believers by the throat tonight. He's got believers believing that they need to be home for some reason or another and not in the house of God. He tells believers, "Don't go and hear that preacher. You had enough of him this morning." Well, you're not accountable to me, and I'm not accountable to you. But boy, I'm going to be there on the judgment day of Christ, and I'm going to be listening to see what kind of excuses are offered to the eternal Son of God. You see, the wise Christian, the one who studies the Bible, and the one who understands the teaching of the Bible will not dismiss this part of spiritual warfare as superstition. That person will be aware of Satan's tactics and guard against them, as 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 teaches. Now, some of Satan's tactics are very obvious from the scripture. "Indeed, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies." And also, when we look at the Bible, and in particular in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, we get an idea of what sort of attack Satan makes on us by noting the type of armor provided in the wisdom of God. Now, you have a good look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 sometime. Have a look at the armor that you're told to put on. And you're told to put it on piece by piece with prayer. And when you've got it all on, you're fully clad in the armor that God has for you. That's how fierce the attacks of Satan are. But he not only attacks us and defeats us, he accuses us and slanders us. You see, as devil means slanderer, that's what devil really means. So Satan lives up to his name. He accuses us before God. He accuses us for our sins and our imperfection. And to answer these accusations, we have, as Christians, our divine barrister, as we talked about in the morning hour. The Lord Jesus Christ the righteous, who satisfied God for all of our sins and who stands as witness to our right standing before God, thus defeating Satan, as 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 reveal. But then Satan does something else. He not only accuses, but he plants doubts in our minds. You know, he loves to break up marriages by planting little doubts. Oh, did you know this about your wife before you married her? Did you know this about your husband before you married her? I know the kind of things that he throws into the center. I remember the anonymous letter my mother got in 1942 about the affair my father had with another woman before he married my mother, and how I've got a stepsister who's a Catholic nun. And I remember how the doubt was placed in my mother, and how Satan used that, and how six of us were tormented and torn apart. Satan tries so many times to make us doubt God's goodness. God's word, don't believe that, he says, and God's eternal salvation. And in doing so, Satan maligns God's character and challenges God's authority. He throws a lot of doubt into a lot of you people. I've noticed and I've watched it since I've been here. And he loves to defeat you. And then the other thing he does, he loves to tempt you to sin. I don't think we're going to get this all on a tape, Gary. You got a spare one, mate? The other thing that he does is he tempts Christians to sin. For example, he wants you to lie, as revealed in Acts 5 and verse 3. You know the story of Ananias and Sapphira? You know how they were to sell up and bring everything and it was to be given common good? Ananias and Sapphira were missing. Why? They'd gone shopping. You know, after all, Sapphira, she saw a beautiful frock in one of those downtown stores. And she said to Ananias, she said, look, we'll just have to buy some nice things to wear, and then the Lord can have what's left over. You know, many people play that game, don't they? I was thinking about it the other day that I was working out in my mind. I said, Lord, if I sell my house and I get so much money for it, I owe you a tenth of that. And I said, Lord, say I get 70,000 for it. Lord, I've got to give you 7,000 before I dare put my fingers on any other cent of it. And you see, if you don't give the Lord the tenth, the government will get that way, as they are now, that they'll take the tenth off you anyhow. Satan is the author of lies, and he always attempts the believer to act against the truth of God's word. And we all know that a lie is to tell a falsehood in whole or in part for personal gain and to the loss or hurt of another. And this, of course, is part of the self-seeking philosophy of Satan. Then there are the sex sins, as spoken about in 1 Corinthians 7:5. And it is clear from this passage of Scripture that Satan promotes the philosophy of the priority of bodily satisfaction, perversion of sex in fornication, adultery, homosexuality are some of Satan's delights. And the Bible is clear on this matter. And there is never justification to yielding to Satan for these sins. Please understand that this system, built on the principle of self-promotion, and its philosophy and practice are anti-God. Satan would influence and defeat us through the lust of the flesh, which is pleasures, the lust of the eyes, as John says in his epistle, which is possessions, and the boastful pride of life, which is self-promotion. If God told you tonight to sell what you have and go to Africa with the gospel, would you go? I remember gathering my dear little wife, God bless her, and my two little children away back in 1968 and standing together as a family and said, we will sell that beautiful home and we will give the money to the Lord. And they said, yes, we will do it. Would you do it? Of course, this attitude affects all of us, knowingly or unknowingly, as 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 reveal. But as I look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, I see that that scripture reveals that Satan is actively promoting it. And in 2 Timothy 4:10 and in James 4, 1 through 7, is the great revelation that some have succumbed to Satan's temptations through it.
Now, another masterpiece of Satan's activity is that he knows that he can defeat what is purely human when he does not conform to God's standard or rely on God's power. Now, that is why Satan tempted King David. King David at the time was in a state of carnality, and Satan tempted him to have confidence in numbering the soldiers. Then Satan also moved in the Corinthian church to judge the gospel and the message and ministry according to human wisdom. This is revealed for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18, chapter 4, verse 5, and 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. Now Satan does something else. He would also have us occupied with our difficulties and overcome with cares. He does that brilliantly. He gets you in the poor me club. And before you know where you are, you're physically ill through psychosomatic disorder. You've been having a ball with some of them. There's another method that he has. He loves infiltrating the church. And one of the ways he does this is through the false teachers, as 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 reveal, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 19 reveal. And Satan sends these messengers disguised as messengers of light.